Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to another Record Celtic podcast. My name is Daniel Caw, and in this week's show, I'm joined by Michael Gannon and Gordon Parts. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Yourself?
Good, thanks.
Good, Daniel. Looking forward to it.
The only place for us to start this week is perhaps some white smoke we've been waiting for in the Eddie Howe to Celtic. This kind of became the saga. I was going to say of the summer, but it's not even the summer yet. Is his arrival imminent? Does it look like we're finally going to get some news this week, perhaps, on his potential arrival?
Imminent? I don't know about that. I think it is fairly... I don't think it just changed an awful lot, really. I think Eddie Howe is still the man, and it's a case of tying up the loose ends, I think, and getting over the line. So whether that's now, it's not going to come in and take charge into the summer anyway. So it's a case of getting those final details ironed out and announcing it. So when that happens, we'll be down to the negotiations and the finer points of the details, that's all. It might be a matter of time, but when that'll be, we don't know as yet.
You've got to, Dominic Mackay, he's only been in the door a week and a half. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to find his feet, settle down and assess things, but with the Eddie Howe situation, nobody knows his own personal situation, that there's this urgency to get him in. Of course there is, because there's so much work to be done, but it has to be on his terms. As you say, finalising backroom staff, finalising what kind of remit, what kind of budget. These are all things that are lengthy processes, but he has his own agenda. He's got his own timeline. It will be very much on Eddie Howe's terms anyway, if he's prepared to come to Glasgow, and who knows?
Yeah, a lot going on. It's not just Eddie Howe. There's people involved as well who are still in jobs, who have got contacts to see out. So there's a lot of moving parts as part of this as well. So there's quite a lot to sort out. And the season, there's games to be played, but by all intents and purposes, the season's finished anyway. So it's a case of this is going on in the background. It's just a case of when you can get in the door and get started for real.
You both kind of touched on it there, that I think a lot of the focus around Eddie Howe has been on his background team and who'd want to bring with him. There's been a lot of talk about Richard Hughes. I even saw the name Mark Burchell kind of thrown about today as a potential, maybe as a scout in his recruitment team. Where do you think this kind of leaves or would leave John Kennedy, Gavin Strachan? What's their sort of future at Celtic look like?
Interesting. My own belief is that John Kennedy, his coaching ability is of such high regard within Celtic that there will be a place for him. Gavin Strachan, maybe not so much. I think he hasn't been sold to the Celtic fans. They'll be wanting to take as many bodies as possible to make up for the catastrophe of this season. They'll have to be heads rolling, and Gavin Strachan could be one. But Kennedy's appears to me as if he's in with the bricks at Celtic. I know that a lot of Celtic fans don't want to hear that, but I believe that there's a coach there, there's a coach that's regarded as somebody that can progress. And I think certainly the discussions that Dominic Mackay will have with Eddie Howe, if it is Eddie Howe, will be to make sure that he's implemented into that backroom team.
Yeah, I tend to agree, Parsi. I think John Kennedy, anyone you speak to, they all speak very highly of him as a coach. And I think there probably should be a role for him at Parkhead in some capacity. I also think maybe for John's own sake as well, that it might be best to go and get a job as a manager somewhere. I think John Kennedy will be a manager. Mm-hmm. Whether Celtic do the league, I don't know. But I think he will be a manager in his own right at some point. And maybe this is the time to do it.
There's also a fact that there's a bit of continuity. The problem bringing Eddie Howe into Scottish football is he needs to have people that can identify issues, that can give them knowledge, that's got local kind of information, that knows the setup, that knows the club. You can't just have this kind of washout that's been a bad season, wash the whole thing out. There's a role there because Kennedy can be that kind of link man. Very important, because how many times have we seen people arriving within Scottish football that have got the kind of, or they tick all the kind of boxes, but just don't have the local knowledge? It's a key ingredient, and I think Kennedy provides that.
At the same time, Pats, you know yourself, there's also a lot of suspicion in football as well, and sometimes guys coming in think if someone's on the books that maybe was caretaker manager and was designed to be a manager one day, sometimes think, well, that guy's going to plot by my back for my job. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes they want a clean slate so they can be their own people, so to avoid that kind of feeling. But in saying that, I don't think John Kennedy's that kind of guy. I think he's shown over the years that he's loyal to the club first and foremost. And I don't think he would be like a guy to plot behind people's back and try to nibble away trying to get the job off him at some point. I don't think he's that kind of guy. So I think he's worth keeping on the books in some capacity. But again, I think it's time for him to get the manager. But then it depends on what opportunities come up. But something will come up and there'll be a phone call he'll get probably in the next 6 months about a job, and I think it's maybe time to go and take it and see how it goes on. But
I think you touched on it there, Gordon, that the kind of it almost feels like there's been a bit of pushback from the Celtic fans towards John Kennedy. He's taken a wee bit of stick, maybe, just as everyone I think kind of linked with Celtic has after such a underwhelming season. Personally, I think it would be a big mistake for Celtic to get rid of John Kennedy, you know, to kind of be like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. You know, they've almost groomed him for the best part of a decade to be this coach. And Michael, you might hit the nail on the head. Maybe it is time for him to go out and take on a job maybe elsewhere in the Premiership. Who knows?
It's a bit unfair. I think that some of the criticism levelled at John's a bit unfair because... I didn't see the people saying that when Celtic were invincible and quadruple trebles and all that stuff, which, by the way, it's getting more and more obvious how big an achievement that actually was. Yeah. When you see the kind of problems across the Rangers and the Cups in recent years. So, but no one ever said a great part of the success story was the fact John Kennedy was there. So he didn't get the credit for the good times, but he gets battered for the bad season. So I think it's a wee bit harsh.
There's a vilification at the moment with Celtic fans because they haven't been. But the thing is, it's the recruitment policy at Celtic. It's the players being brought in. It's the players that Kennedy and Lennon had to, many of them thrust upon them, that have failed at Celtic. The new recruits are the ones that have fallen short. And John Kennedy has to work with what he's been given. The manager, in his own right.
Look who's played in the last 4 or 5 weeks. Look who hasn't played, I should say. Yeah. Shane Duffy not played. Albin Ayeti not played. Patrick Comala, who's now left, not played. Diego Laxalt very rarely played until Taylor was injured. So the guys at the loan signings and the signings, like Barkas hasn't played. So all like, as you touched on, the guys that were given to that team have been gone. So that says it all, doesn't it? Really?
Well, the recruitment at Celtic's been done with a blindfold on, and that's the reason why they're in the position they're in. And it's inexplicable that you could have throw so much at the wall and fail so badly. That's been the real key issue at Celtic. The quality that's been brought in has actually diminished the team. And you're right, Kennedy's reaction since he took charge to wash that away and go with the tried and trusted, the dependables, has been telling.
Yeah. If, you know, some of the reports today are accurate and that Eddie Howe is at least closer to becoming the Celtic manager, what will his first issues of business be? Obviously, transfer targets. What areas do you think he needs to improve most? You almost looks like, as you kind of did there, Michael, you can go through the whole team and almost pick out, you know, 3, 4, 5 positions that really need strengthened.
Keep going. I think you've been quite conservative with 3, 4, 5. I mean, you're looking through the team now for next season, and you'll probably need a goalkeeper, another right back, definitely maybe 2 right backs, at least probably 2 centre halves. A left back, at least one.
Yeah.
2 wide players, put up perhaps. A striker. Central midfield player. So we're now up to 7 and 8. First team starters. I think it's more the case of what's he going to start with? What's he got left rather than what's to come in? It's a huge, huge rebuild required.
Daniel, Eddie Howe will already know he'll have a list. He'll be putting things together. If it is so advanced that we're kind of beginning to hear that his arrival is imminent, he'll already have his recruitment plan. He'll have the contact base. One of the beauties of the environment that he's coming from is he knows he's operating in a field of quality. If it's a budget to go and recruit the way that he wants, Michael's right. It's across the board. The surgery requires extensive, but he will be able to pull from a talent pool, which will be a huge asset to Celtic, rather than having hit or miss targets the way it's been for Celtic over the last couple of seasons.
I think he's in for a bit of a fright, Gordon. I think because the market, I mean, his last wage bill at Bournemouth, in his final season at Bournemouth, the wage bill was £108 million a year.
Wow.
That's not the same market that Celtic have been mixing in. I mean, Celtic's got the biggest wage bill in Scotland, but it's a £50-odd million, so it's half the wage bill he had at Bournemouth.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about buying seven first-team players for Celtic, you're having to buy them. What are you having to pay for that? Even if it's £3 million a signing, that's £20-odd million right away.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have to wheel and deal. So I understand the kind of the recruitment position. I mean, obviously talking about Richard Hughes, it's such a key position because he needs so many players. And he's going to have a budget. He'll get money to spend, but he needs a lot of it. And he used to use it really, really wisely. And he's probably needs to wheel and deal like he hasn't done since he was in the Championship with Bournemouth.
It's not a wholesale issue, though. Celtic, let's not forget, there is a kind of gut reaction to look as if the whole thing's demolished. It's not. There's still a lot of key assets at Celtic, and that tends to be forgotten. He's coming in, and he's still got players there that are a cut above the rest.
Who's going to be there? Who'll be there, Patsy?
Well, you've got Callum McGregor. You've got a guy that you can build a team around in David Turnbull. You've got guys that you know you're getting a job from, like Forrest. You've got Greg Taylor will go and maybe fill a gap at left hand side. You've got some kind of personnel there that you can build things around.
That's four players you've named there, Patsy. The rest,
I could go on.
Right? Oh, seven positions to fill. I mean, the likely scenario is that the Edward goes, Ayer goes. Question marks, Ryan Christie's contract situation is still not being resolved. Chances are he'll be looking to go as well. Big changes. That's a lot of key players. I mentioned Christopher Julien's out probably longer term later in the year as well. So it's a lot of work. I mean, it's a mammoth job here. It's maybe a job that's going to take 2-3 windows to get right. Never mind the first window.
I mean, just on that, I saw that Alan Stubbs the other day and mentioned that for his money, this could be the biggest rebuild in Celtic's history. And when he put it like that, I thought that seemed a bit dramatic. But laying it out like this, it's
hysterical talk, that kind of stuff. I think that's a Glasgow thing. It's a West of Scotland kind of one team wins the title, the other one doesn't. The panic button gets hit. It's a catastrophe. It's not been great. But to talk about that kind of biggest rebuild in history, it's a good headline, but it doesn't reflect the reality of it.
I don't agree, but I think it is.
Yeah.
Well, not history, because I've only been around for a bit of it. I haven't seen it. I don't know how the great rebuild of 1926 went. But in terms of, well, Stubbs' era, 97, when Janssen came in, that was a big rebuild. That was, well, Henrik Larsson, Craig Burley, Paul Lambert, Mark Reaper. But he also had Stubbs, Boyd, Donnelly, O'Donnell, these guys. So it maybe wasn't quite as big a rebuild, but maybe not. Darren Jackson came in that year as well. Martin O'Neill's rebuild wasn't that. Martin O'Neill was also revolutionised Celtic at that time, but he had Larsson, Moravcek, he had Stubbs, he had Mialbi, he had Petrov. These guys, he added Sutton, Thompson, Lennon, Hartson, the other ones he brought in. So that was a big rebuild. But this one, let's say it's talking 7 or 8 first-team players to start for next season. So it's arguably as big as 97, perhaps bigger.
Yeah, I think the bigger problem is the chemistry at the football club is a problem, or an attitude issue. There's clearly a massive kind of atmospheric problem at Celtic. The application hasn't been good enough. That's a more important thing. I know that there's key players are leaving and I know they have to bring in and spend. But if it is Eddie Howe, he has to completely transform the mindset because something thinks it's Celtic Park just now and it needs to be clubbed out.
Interesting times ahead. I think we should maybe focus on a little bit more in the present. And this weekend, it almost feels like we've got one of these every weekend now. We've got another derby match between Celtic and Rangers. Rangers and Celtic at Ibrox. I know that obviously on the face of it, there's not a great deal to play for, but Celtic fans won't see it that well, will they? They'll be wanting to recoup at least a little bit of dignity. I think it's been 20 years since Celtic went an entire season without beating Rangers at least once.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? I mean, I don't quite go along with this. There's no such thing as a meaningless Old Firm game, because this one is a bit as close to this it gets to one. But I take the point. There is always that kind of temporary local bragging rights at stake. But I don't think it's a marker for next season or indicator or otherwise. I don't think any of that applies to this game. I think it'd be interesting to see if Rangers can get through to the end of the season unbeaten. Even then, I think their cup kind of failures is diminished their achievement a wee bit. So, in terms of Celtic, there isn't much really to go for, to play for, apart from giving the punters a week or two of rubbing their noses in it for the rival fans when they talk to them in the Zoom calls and all that. I was going to say they go to work, but don't do that anymore. when they're on the conference calls and the WhatsApp groups and all that stuff. So there isn't an awful lot to play for. If you're a player on your way out of Celtic, or if you're a lone player and all that stuff, are you really that bored about that kind of issue? You'd like to think so, but who knows? We know how it works. This season has been a total nightmare. And I think a lot of people at Celtic will be just waiting to get, just seeing out time to get the season out of the way.
Yeah, Kennedy could do a massive favour to Eddie Howe by only utilising players that have got a future at Celtic this weekend.
I think so as well, yeah, I think so as well.
There's a dearth of options coming in from behind at Celtic. They've got an academy structure there. They've got a whole kind of programme that isn't bearing fruit. Go and give a couple of kids a chance to go and develop and give Eddie Howe a starter.
But that's a problem as well. A lot of the young players are out on loan just now as well at clubs, and it's they can't exactly chuck in a whole raft of them either. But I take your point. I think we do need, I don't see the point really in playing the kind of guys that won't be around next year. I think it's best just to give even a wee taster. I mean, I would probably play guys like Conor Hazard again, give him another chance. Obviously, Steve Welsh has been playing, but you think Karamoko Dembele, is he worth chucking in for a game? See how he copes in that environment.
Why not? It matters not a jot. I mean, let's just be honest. We will hype it up and we'll build it up into something that it's not. It's become a bit of a slog for Rangers. Celtic want the season finished tomorrow. Just go and do something different.
Yeah. Basically, I don't have that many options really to go and, I mean, look at young players. I think half a dozen of their top prospects are all out on loan. Guys like Leo Connor, Scott Robertson, these kind of guys. Ross Doon, up at Dun United now as well. So a lot of them are way out on loan, so they don't have that many options really to go and muck about with the team. I think they're going to have to play most of the regular team anyway, because there's not really much there else around to kind of help out just now.
We've touched on it a little bit earlier in the podcast, but I think this weekend's Celtic lineup could be like one of these quiz questions in the future. You know, you look back at this Old Firm lineup and you can't believe how many changes there's been. Because the amount of players that it looks like will be leaving or will be playing the last Old Firm game, I mean, it looks like, I mean, you ran through it, Michael, pretty much 8 or 9 of the Celtic players that could start this game probably won't be there in the summer. Is that fair?
Quite possibly, yeah. I mean, there's a few under contract, but what would the lineup be? Probably, I mean, I'd imagine it'd be Scott Bain and goal, but Barkas is in the squad. His future's in doubt as well. Right back, Kenny's back on loan. Middle of the park. Well, yeah, I suppose you still get Stephen Welsh by there, but there's not going to be many. Callum McGregor, David Turnbull, Forrest, these guys have been hanging about. But yeah, you're right. Probably 5 or 6 of these guys won't be around next year, at least. Starters, there'll be probably even less.
Just very quickly on Barkas, I wanted to get your guys' take on that. I feel like Barkas has been stitched up a wee bit in the sense that he's not, okay, he hasn't looked great when he's played, but I saw reports this week that he could be heading back to Greece. And for my money, I don't think he's been given a particularly, you know, long run in the team.
I think you've got to try to factor in the fact that whoever's managing Celtic, be it Lennon, be it Kennedy, they're watching them week in and training. He hasn't installed confidence in either of them. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's not getting a game given the amount of money they spent on him is telling as well, because the games that we've watched him play, you have to go and show yourself, and he hasn't done anything. I can't remember anything significant to kind of hold my hat on him and say there's signs of promise there. another disaster signing, another recruitment mistake. But you got to look at the daily stuff that he's doing. If he was excelling in training, he would be playing. He's clearly not.
Aye, that's fair enough.
He's played 23 games this season. So I take the point that he's not. But 23 games is still 23 games. Not as if he's only played two or three games.
That's more than I thought, to be honest.
And in those 23 games, what have we seen that shows that he's got the tools to be a certain goalkeeper? I don't know. Listen, I take the point that he's maybe been hard done by in the fact that he's coming in after Fraser Forster, who is a colossus. I mean, last year he was worth probably 10 points in the league, won a cup single-handedly, brilliant in Europe. To go from that to Barkas was a big drop in quality and presence at the back. Listen, it's hard from the back four was chopped and changed. Well, it wasn't even a back four, it was back three, back four at times. The body's changed. We're on a weekly basis at the start of the season. But in saying that, so it's a new country during a pandemic, so it's probably hard for him to settle. His family back home. So you've got to take all that into account. It's not worked out well for him. But on the pitch,
Nick, it's cop-out time when he starts talking about this.
That's the only caveat, but I look back.
He spoke about how difficult it was to adjust.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. He's getting paid a fortune. He's barely made a save.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut and go and deliver.
I thought it was a crucial period in the season. I thought he'd be actually culpable for a couple of the goals that were really key goals. I thought the European qualifier in the last minute, Ferencvaros, I thought he was ropey at that one. I thought the goal against Rangers at Parkhead, Conor Goldson, the opening goal, thought he was ropey.
Yeah. I can almost read his departure stuff when he leaves and he's asked about Celtic. It'll be what woes me, somebody else's fault.
I know, but I don't think he doesn't seem to the presence to be a Celtic goalkeeper. But I think that might be because of who he's following as well. But he's just, if he's not settled and he's not doing the goods in the park, then maybe time to cut the losses.
Yeah, Celtic Rangers fortunes this season. See if you micro, if you boil it down. A tale of two keepers, one exceptional, fantastic. You talk about presence, you talk about leading personality that oozes throughout, that builds from the back and gets through the entire team, and the complete opposite in Barkas.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with that. But no, I don't think it's... If a chance comes up to get some money back, then it's probably best to take it.
One guy that definitely will be heading for the exit door this summer at Celtic Park is Scott Brown. This will be his final derby match in the Celtic's midfield. One of the all-time greats to play in this sort of fixture?
It's hard to look at anybody that's been such a pivotal presence, dynamic, the authority he's had in old Firm games. He's carved out iconic status in Celtic Rangers games. It's been an astonishing kind of... The will that he takes on and the will that he has on these kind of fixtures, it's been extraordinary. It's hard to think of many players that have had more impact in Celtic Rangers game. Mick, can you think of many?
Certainly not now. In recent kind of 20, 30 years, that's for sure. I mean, he has just been a giant for Celtic. I mean, you look at his place in Celtic history is secured. He's one of the all-time greats. And I think a lot of people remember the Old Firm games in particular. I think the kind of spell under Brendan Rodgers. Rodgers came in. Was even talk at that time of Brown being on the wane and his career kind of under Ronnie Dyla. There was a few instances and it looked as always it was petering out a wee bit, but he got revitalised under Rodgers. It was a real linchpin in that kind of period. I think it was about 11 or 12 Old Firm games when Celtic just threw Rangers about the place. I mean, they absolutely clattered Rangers weekend every time they faced them.
Senior mind's eye.
He strode it through these games with a big smile on his face and he absolutely bossed it. That period especially remembered as being he absolutely owned the fixture completely.
See that when you're talking about Boston fixtures, now your mind's eye, you look at when the fans were packed Ibrox. The guy led his team onto the pitch and he had such a kind of authority. And the authority he had on the game itself, it was to his will the whole thing bent. And that was a massive factor in Celtic's dominance. It was a psychological thing. And Rangers fans will acknowledge that, many of them. The fact that he had the kind of vex on them.
Well, the Rangers fans didn't. When you see him on the side, they didn't want to face him because they knew his presence in these games was all-consuming. When you look in contrast back to the old kind of Joey Barton time and all that stuff, and you look at the contrast, I mean, Scott Brown was in charge of the governor of these fixtures. I mean, you look at the winding up Morelos and all that stuff, and he had that kind of hard, rugged, nasty edge that you need for this fixture. He was made for it. He was made for the Old Firm fixture, wasn't he? Celtic have lacked that this year, I think. I mean, I think he's been played, obviously, but they've been a wee bit too nice at times this season. And there's a major, major gulf and void to fill when he does depart. I still can't actually quite believe he's going to Aberdeen. I know we've wrote about it, I mean, thousands and thousands of words, but I still can't quite get my head around the fact he's going to Aberdeen and, you know, playing against Celtic next season.
If any team needs to show a bit of authority, it's Aberdeen.
It's true. No, I can understand his reasoning behind it, but I just it'll be strange. It'd be strange to see him go, and it's not been the season that he'd wanted to sign off on, that's for sure. But then again, you can guarantee that going out to Sunday, he will be the one demanding to go out on a high in this fixture. Because we said that at Parkhead, and I think a few of the other guys are about him, kind of let him down a wee bit. But I think this time he'll be going in there determined to kind of go out a bang away.
You touched it there, Michael, but I think it's worth just pointing to the spell in Scott Brown's career. I think when Brendan Rodgers came in, as you said, he was 31. He'd had knee surgery, I think, not long before it. Rangers had won the Scottish Cup semi-final, and it looked like, I remember at the time, Celtic fans saying, I think Brown's past it. I think he's kind of past his best, needs to be moved on. You know, at 31, 32, to have the best spell in his career, I mean, it just speaks volumes. And I agree, I think Celtic fans, I think it's going to take a lot to get over Scott Brown. I mean, I don't even know how you go about signing a replacement or even attempting to.
Football fans never learn a lesson, though. I mean, look at Davis at Rangers, 36. Mm-hmm. You can name numerous players that in their vintage years are the best, because they're better football players. And at 35, 34, 36, your fitness can be ultimate. It can be at its peak. Can you discipline yourself better? Scott Brown's been a poster boy for that, absolutely, how to prove people wrong, but it's just the nature of the football fan to try and write off people as quick as they can.
Yeah, it does happen, though, Pats. I mean, players get to the end of their... You look back on club legends, right? We do it all the time. Club legends, you think they've been at the club their whole career, and that was it. And then you look back, you go, oh, they played 15 games at Halton Accies, they played 20 games for Falkirk, they did this. Danny McGrain, he left Celtic for 20 years, went and played at Accies and all that stuff. Jimmy Johnson ended up in Elgin and all these kind of players. Like, players that are club legends do sometimes have these little kind of end of career spell somewhere else, but it kind of gets forgotten about in the kind of sands of time.
Look at McCoist. McCoist goes to Kilmarnock.
Kilmarnock, Tommy Burns did down there as well. So it does happen, but it will be strange and it will leave a huge void.
Daniel's point's absolutely spot on. I mean, how many times have the conversations been in the pub about Brown? Maybe one under par performance, and he's away to the Knackers Yard. He's been in the Knackers Yard for the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, he has been. But I think Brendan Rodgers was a big part of that, by the way, as well. I mean, Rodgers had two choices when he came in. Either take that kind of presence out the back and put the boat gun through him and start afresh, or you get him in the camp and make him your man as well. And that's what he did. He flew him down to London, looked him in the eye and said, do you want to be part of this? And he was convinced that Brown could be a player for him. And I think the way Rodgers utilised him was perfect at that time in his career. I actually think, I've mentioned it before in this podcast, I think the way that Neil Lennon used him subsequently, I don't think was right that time in his career. I think the setup and the kind of way that it played under Rodgers suited Brown. But I think he was going to ask to do things laterally that I think were maybe beyond him at that stage of his career. I think it was beyond him 3 years previously, but he excelled in the role that Rodgers gave him. But by tweaking that, I think it diminished his impact on the games, which I think the knock-on effect was certainly a bit of a poor season.
Yeah, that's
a bit of a poor season. You know what I mean? A disastrous season.
It's a good angle.
I don't think it's helped by that.
If you're looking for some edge for the weekend, there's one. Scott Brown is certainly the last person in the world that wants to walk out of a Celtic Rangers game, a loser.
If you want to make some money, I think get two power and getting booked at some point. Like, is that what you're telling us, Parsi?
How do Celtic go about even trying to replace him? I mean, I imagine you couldn't put a financial figure on how much it would cost to sign a player of his ilk, of his impact. I mean, it almost seems, as I mentioned, almost kind of impossible.
I don't. I mean, it's impossible for that kind of character that's winning in stockpiling silverware like that. Because that year is now over, and we're now into a new period in Scottish football, so it won't be the same utter dominance. But there'll be a player who comes in. I mean, I think David Turnbull's got a big future at Celtic. Different kind of player, but there'll be someone, maybe not one we expect to be, who'll come in and become that presence, and probably in the engine room as well. There'll be someone who's maybe a surprising kind of face that comes in, and because I thought, I mean, Scott Brown, only a big money signing, but he wasn't the kind of, no one expected him to be the force he became at Celtic when he signed. So there'll be someone who emerges to be the next great leader at Celtic. It might be that someone in the books already, it might be Callum McGregor, different character, right enough, but equally successful and equally influential in the dressing room. He might go on to be that kind of guy, we don't know. But there'll be someone, listen, times move on and fans will worship someone else in the future. That's how it always works.
Yeah, the only certainty is that whoever that individual is that comes in, you won't find him in Scotland. He doesn't exist.
Do you think so?
No. Who is he?
I don't know. You just don't know who emerges a lot, especially in that kind of role. Sometimes players take a bit longer to develop and grow into these positions. I mean, I look at guys down in England, guys like Kenny McLean, Aberdeen, good player at Aberdeen. Look at now an absolute linchpin at Norwich. And you see who's going to be the next guy coming through like that. John McGinn was one. Didn't quite expect him to be as meteoric as he has been down at Villa. He's been the one that Celtic should have signed a couple of years ago and made him into that person, but they missed out on that one, which we all know about. But there could be somebody that you maybe not expect, that even in their own doorstep, that could come in and become that kind of player. That's the way of the world.
Looking forward to this game. What do you think John Kennedy needs to do in terms of his lineup? I know he's kind of hamstrung into you touched on it, Michael. You know, he can't really bring in too many young players, make too many changes. There's been a lot of talk about width. Does he try and bring in try and make it a bit wider, try and expand the game a little bit?
It needs a new game plan, because I think they did okay in the two previous Old Firm games with the formation. With the diamond and all that, the 4-4-2 with the diamond. I was concerned, but I must admit, getting into those two games, I thought it looked dangerous against Rangers with the way they play with wide players. And but they did okay at Ibrox in the league game, and then the league game at Parkhead. The cup tie, they tried it again a third time, and it collapsed. That system just collapsed completely. The Rangers got wise to it, and it didn't work. So I think it's back to the drawing board for Celtic. I don't think they can go with that diamond again. I think it leaves them too vulnerable in the wide positions. I mean, you saw what happened to Laxalt at Ibrox in the cup game. I mean, it was he completely tortured because of the formation dictated that the way it was going to be. There was going to be a weakness in these areas if it didn't go right. And it didn't go right. Rangers tweaked their formation a wee bit, and it caused Celtic a lot of problems. So they can't. I don't think they can go in with that kind of that diamond again, because I think that's asking for trouble, especially now the Rangers have got Tavernier back fit down that right side. I think it's inviting trouble. If they go 4-4-2 with that diamond, I think they're inviting trouble again. So they need to come back with a new strategy that takes Rangers, ask them questions, because the way the cup tie went was the way I thought it was going to go in the previous two games, which didn't quite, for various reasons. And this time, I think it's a problem for Celtic, because Rangers have got threats down the flanks, and they can vary it. They can go outside or inside, and it's going to cause problems for Celtic's fullbacks, who are not the greatest defensively. So there's issues for them. John Kennedy's got to come up with something. They need to find a plan to cope with that, and causing Rangers problems at the same time.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said there, Mike. You've got to isolate the problem in the wide area, because that was massive. That was a real route for Rangers. You've got to tell John Joe, yeah, like, take a touch forward and play forward. See if Celtic go and play two up against the Rangers back line. I'm not convinced about either. I think if you go and press against them, and Celtic created enough chances in the last game to win the game. I think if you go and...
They did pass it, but they're also wide open. If you push your fullbacks up to give you the width from that diamond...
You can still have a formation you can still have that security, but you can go and play with a forward impetus that they never had. Take a touch and play forward. go and push yourself up against the twin centre halves that Rangers are, who I believe are vulnerable whenever they're really taking the task. They struggle. Now go and you're not. It's there's nothing at stake. Go and ask some questions. That was the phrase you used.
Yeah, I think Rangers, you know the way Rangers are going to play. I mean, they make wee tweaks here and there, but you know how they're going to play with their 4-3-3, which can become a 4-5-1 when they're defending, their full-backs bombing up and all that stuff. You know how they're going to play. I just think if you play that, I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of that 4-4-2 diamond situation because I don't think it's flexible enough to cope.
It's not that it's not flexible enough. It's the personnel that are in providing that kind of...
They play it partially because they don't have the personnel to play any other way, but they've got James Forrest being back, gives them an option. I've gone back to kind of your kind of 4-2-3-1s and all that stuff. I think that might be more kind of realistic way to play against Rangers right now. But they had to play that formation because they didn't have the bodies really. They didn't have any wide players really. I mean, Elanusi is playing up top as a kind of second striker in that formation. But now with Forrest back, they can play a bit of width with a bit of security at the back as well. So I think that's maybe the way to go. Because their hand was forced. I mean, that's the reason why they played 3-5-2 early in the season as well. It's the reason why they had to go to this 4-4-2 diamond because they didn't have the players to play these other positions. Which gets back to what we were saying right at the start. The equipment wasn't right. They didn't have enough wide players in the squad. There wasn't a balance in the squad back then. So they're kind of, their hand's forced a wee bit, really. It depends on who they've got available, what they can play. So the players that take the formation, but yeah. it might be tricky.
Just before we wrap up, guys, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's your prediction for Sunday's game?
Only a fool. listen, I think Rangers have kind of dipped since they won the league, and I think they had a major dunt, didn't they, in the cup last week, which might make them a wee bit more determined to come out and make a wee bit of a statement, I guess. And I say Celtic look a bit of a kind of ragtag assortment that's stumbling towards the end of the season, but it might be a kind of last stand. We might see two tired sides just slugging it out one last time, and it might be that it finds up a draw again. I could see that happening as well, because it's been a long grueling campaign for everyone for various reasons, and I think it might show at the weekend. It could be a kind of last man standing job, kind of stalemate, I think. That's where I'd be. If I was betting, I'd be betting on a draw.
Yeah, you're looking for crumbs of motivation, and it sits with Rangers, doesn't it? I mean, for all it's worth, they've got this record. They want to keep up and get through and get to the finish line. That could be enough. That could be enough to motivate them through it. But I think I agree with Mick. Draw.
Well, I guess we'll see at the weekend. Gordon, Michael, it's been a pleasure talking to you this afternoon.
By the way, two of the worst tipsters in history, by the way, so that's for anyone listening, get lump on anything but a draw.
I've not had a keeping up in months.
Willie Hill's best pal sitting here.
No, it's been a pleasure talking to you guys. Fingers crossed for a good game at the weekend. And thanks very much for listening.
Cheers, Daniel. See you later.
Thanks, guys.